morning, America. We just have to take a moment to pause to let Whit relish in his victory.
Yeah.
I have not slept at all. Worked all day, watched my Niners. I mean, the frozen tundra, the snow, the Packers.
He's all jazzed up.
The grit.
Every time we have played that video this morning in the studio getting ready for the show, he's like made little noises over here.
I'm a happy boy.
We do have some serious news to talk about this morning. The crisis along the Russia-Ukraine border intensifying this morning. The U.S. State Department reportedly in the process of making plans to send some diplomats and their families home from Ukraine.
And the U.S. claiming Russia is planning to invade eastern Ukraine with 100,000 Russian forces already near the border there. Russia denies it plans to attack. And some Ukrainians on the ground believe Moscow is bluffing.
The latest diplomacy session in Geneva, Switzerland, between Secretary of State Blinken and his Russian counterpart reaching no breakthroughs, even as a shipment of U.S. military aid arrives in Ukraine. So let's get the latest this morning from ABC's Patrick Reville, who's on the ground in the Ukrainian capital. Patrick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Janae. Yes, after positive signs in Geneva on Friday, tensions again ticking up around Ukraine. The US planning to pull out some embassy staff over security fears, and British officials claiming to have uncovered a Russian plot to install a pro-Moscow government here.
This morning, Biden administration sources confirming the US State Department is preparing to approve the evacuation of some American diplomats and their families from the embassy in Ukraine.
The authorization that would allow diplomats, families and non-emergency staff to leave the embassy here in Kiev is a step that does suggest the US believes the risk of a major Russian attack may be getting worse.
Russia is continuing its military buildup around Ukraine, over 100,000 troops estimated to be massed near the borders. The Kremlin upping the pressure by moving trainloads of troops into neighboring Belarus all week, saying it's for a huge joint exercise, deploying fighter jets there. Despite the unsettling displays of force, Moscow and Belarus both deny they plan to attack Ukraine.
The continued buildup that we see on the borders of the Ukraine is all indicative of what you might expect would be needed to invade another country. But we don't know right now whether this is an elaborate bluff or Putin is truly serious about invading Ukraine.
President Biden meeting with his national security team at Camp David Saturday to discuss the situation. Talks last week in Geneva offered some hope Russia will continue diplomacy for now. But the British government overnight making a startling claim that it has intelligence Russia is plotting to install a pro-Russian leader in Ukraine. The British allegations naming several former Ukrainian politicians allegedly recruited for the scheme. The White House saying this type of plotting is deeply concerning, Russia dismissing the claim as provocative nonsense. The US is hurrying more military assistance to Ukraine, a 90-ton shipment arriving this weekend, including ammunition and anti-tank missiles.
The State Department says the drawdown of the embassy is just part of contingency planning. A US official, though, has told us Ukraine's government is unhappy with the message it sends. It has to be said they are much more skeptical that a major Russian attack is likely. Whit?
So many developments, Patrick. Thank you. Let's bring in ABC's chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, who will be hosting this week later on this morning. Martha, good morning. Always great to have you. Let's start with that escalating tension on the border with Ukraine. More signs pointing towards a possible Russian invasion. What are you learning about how the U.S. could respond here?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the evacuation of some employees, some U.S. embassy employees. That's just smart. No matter what is happening, the U.S. wants to be prepared. So whether that's a signal or not, we don't know. But they don't want to risk anyone being in a bad position over there. As far as an invasion is concerned, the U.S. is deeply concerned. The U.S. is not bluffing about that, for sure. They are deeply concerned. They see that troop build up on the border. But I think what everyone is looking for here is what is the Russians' off-ramp here? What can they get? What can they say? They claim some sort of victory, short of the U.S. saying Ukraine won't be part of NATO. What can the Russians see to make them withdraw those troops? And they're at a real standoff right now for that.
And Martha, while we have you, I do want to turn to another story, the battle over voting rights. Democrats have been unable to pass major legislation on Capitol Hill. But you recently traveled to Texas, where a controversial new law is now in effect. What did you learn talking to voters there? And how is this law influencing other states across the country?
You know, this is the first test in the nation, Whit. There are 19 states across the country making voting harder. What we saw in Texas, they are getting ready for a primary election there, and they're having real problems with some of those ballot application. Hundreds have already been rejected. One of the election officials told us this is the canary in the coal mine for the midterms. Whit.
All right, Martha, thank you. Let's tune into This Week later on this morning. Martha will go one-on-one with Senators Chris Coons and Joni Ernst about the latest U.S.-Russia tensions over Ukraine and President Biden's plans to pivot his strategy with midterm elections approaching. Plus, Dr. Anthony Fauci joins to discuss whether Omicron cases have peaked in the United States. Eva?
Well, now to that deadly shooting here in New York City that killed a police officer and critically wounded another during a domestic dispute call. Since the beginning of the new year, five officers have been shot, and that's just part of the violence seen since the new mayor took office. And he's now asking for help. ABC's Phil Lipoff has more.
This morning, a call for federal help from the nation's largest city.
We're doing our job in NYPD. How do we stop this if the federal government does not stop the flow of guns in this city?
Mayor Eric Adams likening the escalating gun violence to another crisis in his city.
We need to collaborate with city, state, and federal entities the way we did during 9/11 to fight terrorism. We have to fight the crimes on our street.
That plea coming just a day after the NYPD lost one of its own. Police say three officers responded to a domestic violence call in Harlem when 47-year-old LaShawn McNeil, who had been fighting with his mom, refused to come out of a back room. NYPD officer Jason Rivera approached. Police say McNeil opened fire. Rivera, just 22 years old, was killed. His partner, 27-year-old Wilbert Mora, shot in the back of the head and remains in critical condition.
So let me get a bus here, ASAP.
The third officer, also a rookie, returned fire, hitting McNeil, who's now hospitalized. Officers say they recovered the gun that they believe McNeil used to shoot at them. This Glock with a high-capacity magazine that could hold up to 40 rounds. The gun allegedly stolen from Baltimore in 2017.
That particular gun, there's no other reason why he has one than to commit a crime.
According to police sources, McNeil is believed to have behavioral problems and posted anti-government and anti-police material on social media. Rivera and Mora are the fourth and fifth officers in New York City shot in the line of duty in the first 3 weeks of the year, according to police. In an essay given to his commander in 2020 called Why I Became a Police Officer, Rivera wrote, I know that something as small as helping a tourist with directions or helping a couple resolve an issue will put a smile on someone's face.
Such a tragic loss. Mayor Adams makes the point that there are no gun manufacturers in New York City, yet there are so many guns. That's why he says he needs the federal government's help to stop the flow of those illegal guns into the city. Eva?
Phil, thank you for that. And joining us now is New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Let's start with that help that you've asked for from the federal government, help in fighting crime and stemming the flow of illegal guns into the city. The NYPD is one of the most well-funded police departments in the country. What exactly are you hoping that the federal government can help accomplish?
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on to discuss this important topic. And later this week, I'm going to roll out my plan to deal with the underlying reasons that we're facing such a surge of violence in our cities and cities across America. Number one, the role of the federal government. The police department is doing their job, taking thousands of guns off the streets. Yet each time you take a gun off, there's a constant flow of new guns coming here. And if we don't coordinate to go after those gun dealers that are supplying the large cities in America, such as New York, we are losing the battle, and the federal government must step in and play a role in doing so.
What do you say to the New Yorkers and people who want to visit New York who may be looking at the events of the past few weeks and they say they're afraid? The recent crimes are very upsetting. There was that horrific subway death, a woman pushed in front of a train, that really touched a nerve for many about the rising crime. And then just 4 days later, a baby was hit by a stray bullet. I mean, what do you say to those who are so anxious about what's going on right now?
The same thing I told the mother when her 11-month-old baby was shot in the Bronx. We must come together to resolve these problems. And later this week, when I roll out my plan, we're going to look at how do we, number one, do precision policing to identify those who are trigger pullers. We know who the shooters are in this city, and we need to go after them. But we also need precision prosecution and precision resources. We're dealing with a city that is feeding the many rivers of crime that feeds the sea of crime. Those rivers include an educational system that has failed children for years. It also includes the fact that COVID has devastated our city. We have laws that are not facing the reality of what's taking place on the ground. And it's imperative that our city, state, and federal government coordinate together as we did during the terrorist attack on our soil.
You campaigned largely on this platform of public safety, but, you know, when you look at the things that have happened in the first few weeks as mayor, we've seen those rising crime rates across the city. We keep talking about crime. So many people don't even feel safe taking the subways in New York anymore. Shootings in the boroughs were up by 16% this year through January 16th compared to the same time last year, according to NYPD statistics. Are you concerned about what this trend could suggest for your tenure as mayor? And are these problems that can be solved quickly?
We must solve them quickly, because every life that's lost is a life that is traumatic for not only the individual, but the entire city. And that is the plan we're going to roll out this week, with a very clear understanding of dealing with the underlying reasons that we're seeing an increase in crime. If you don't properly define what is happening on the ground, you cannot execute a real plan to carry it out. It has been 3 weeks in my administration. We are going to roll out a smart way of policing, putting in place again a modified version of a plainclothes anti-gun unit that's going to go after those known shooters and people who are actually creating the devastation in our city. But if you continue to have the flow of guns to big city, you're going to constantly fight this battle. But we're also going to go after our subway system. We're going to put mental health professionals and law enforcement partnering together to remove those who are disorderly in the system, give them the resources they need. But we're not going to have a subway system that, excuse me, commuters are going to be in an unsafe environment. That is unacceptable. And that is why we're going to target this head on and resolve this problem.
Yeah, so many people waiting to see and watching to see exactly what happens as this continues to play out here in our city. Mayor Eric Adams, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Janae?
I need a good question. Not only can we solve it, but solve it quickly. Well, now to the pandemic. Cases nationwide easing somewhat, but we're still seeing more than 700,000 new cases each and every day. And today in Washington, thousands of people are expected in a protest against vaccine mandates. ABC's Kenneth Moten is live in Washington with the very latest. Kenneth, good morning to you.
Janae, good morning. Thousands of people are expected to march right here to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. This is being billed as a rally to defeat the mandates of the COVID-19 vaccine. While organizers say this is not an anti-vax event and many will be vaccinated, some of the biggest anti-vaccine activists will be here and speaking, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, as this movement grows against the vaccine and mandates, more than 5 million new COVID cases were reported in the U.S. in the last 7 days. The country is averaging about 726,000 new cases a day, down about 10% in the last week. But nearly half the states are still dealing with Omicron-fueled surges. And with an added push for testing, this morning we're getting a look inside a California warehouse that's working to clear a backlog of millions of self-tests for iHealth, a company that is contracted with the government to supply hundreds of millions of free tests to Americans. Back here in D.C., there is a visible law enforcement presence in the district this weekend. That's because these demonstrators are converging on a city that has strict face mask mandates and also new proof of vaccination requirements for local businesses. Organizers of this event say this nonpartisan demonstration will be peaceful. Whit?
Kenneth, thank you. Meanwhile, the U.S. and China are battling over COVID and airline flights. Britt Klenit has more from Hong Kong. Britt, good morning.
Good morning, Whit. That's right. The U.S. is suspending 44 flights from China for 2 months, just as the Lunar New Year holiday and the Beijing Winter Games get underway. American authorities say they're responding after China just a few weeks ago banned the same number of flights from the states under their blanket no-tolerance, zero-COVID restrictions. If a flight has more than 5 positive cases on board, that carrier is automatically suspended. A spokesperson for the Chinese government called the U.S. action unreasonable, noting that the ban applies for their carriers too. China has shown how far it's willing to go to contain COVID. Its borders are still effectively closed, and flights between the US and China were running at just 2% of its pre-pandemic levels even before this ban. This is just the most recent spat between the US and China over COVID. The relationship has had a turbulent few years, and this most recent tit-for-tat is really bringing about a sense of deja vu. Eva?
Brett Clement for us there. Thank you. Now to the start of tax season. The IRS accepting income tax returns as of tomorrow. And unlike the last 2 years, there'll be no COVID extension this time. ABC's Deirdre Bolton joins us with some crucial information as you get set to tackle those forms. Good morning to you, Deirdre.
Good morning, Eva. There are a few things to know that are different this year rather than last year. You mentioned that timing factor, and that is true. There is no filing extension. April 18th, that's it. There are two other challenges for many Americans in filing correctly this year. Details from the expanded child tax credit and stimulus payments. All unemployment support is taxable in 2021. That's unlike 2020. Where there was a special tax break on some of the money. For the child tax credit, experts say it is really important to take extra care to correctly report the money you received, or else you risk lengthy delays when it comes to receiving your tax refund. So parents need to watch their mail for a letter from the IRS to reconcile what they received in advance to what they could still be owed when they file a return. One additional bright spot for families, a lot of lower income families who were not eligible for the child tax credit in other years were made fully eligible in 2021. Worth noting, there are free online resources. If your adjusted gross income is $73,000 or less, there is free tax software available at irs.gov. There is the free file program. Eva?
Deirdre, thank you. The bottom line, no matter if you're getting a refund or not, taxes are never fun.
No.
Now to the X Games and a major first ahead today. Trevor Kennison will become the first adaptive athlete to hit the big air jump at the Games. ABC's Will Gans has those details.
For someone who spends so much time in the snow, Trevor Kennison has built a reputation around his warmth.
I would say I'm very, very positive and always smiling. Those two things are like huge and just like of my injury.
Back in 2014, Trevor shattering two vertebrae in a snowboarding accident. The then 22-year-old paralyzed from the waist down. But the lifelong athlete refusing to let it slow him down. Within a year, Trevor was back on the slopes in his new sit ski.
The more I kept skiing and skiing got better and better, the goal was obtainable. And now I'm here.
Here at the X Games, and the goal, the big air jump.
The goal is to, you know, take it to the sweet spot and go like 80 feet, 90 feet on it, however big, you know, that is.
Trevor making history as the first adaptive athlete to make this jump.
You know, anything is possible.
And at the top of that hill, in those final moments before Trevor makes history.
I close my eyes, you know, I turn my outriggers like this, and I go, and then it like, just calms my breath, it calms my heart rate, you know, just everything, it calms down. And then I open my eyes, and then I'm ready to go, and I go do it.
Trevor says he's grateful for everything that's led him to this point, accident included, because it means more opportunities for skiers and adaptive skiers that come after him. You can catch the X Games starting at 1 p.m. on ESPN. By the way, I asked about his pre-jump playlist. It's Wu-Tang.
Of course it is. Amazing.
That'll do it.
Yes, well, thank you so much. We'll be right back.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Fashion, Eddie. We're back to the lost world.
And I thought I made bad choices.
Welcome back to GMA on the Sunday morning. The countdown has begun. We are just a few days away before The Herd makes their return in the new movie, The Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. The all-new animated adventure featuring our favorite prehistoric heroes starts streaming on Disney Plus this Friday,
yes,
January 28th.
My girls will love that. Looking forward to it. We do have a lot of other stories to get to, including some of the big headlines here happening right now. Firefighters in Central California are getting a handle of a rare winter wildfire burning north of Big Sur in Monterey County. The so-called Colorado fire, which started Friday evening, now 20% contained, with the size of the blaze dropping to just above 1,000 acres.
Also right now, Arizona's leading Democrats have censured senators Kyrsten Sinema for voting with Republicans to uphold the Senate filibuster, essentially blocking the Democrats from passing two voting rights bills. The symbolic move comes after Sinema has been celebrated by Democrats for bringing the Arizona Senate seat back to the party in 2018 for the first time in a generation.
And Elba, Idris Elba. Could one of Hollywood's hottest actors be the next James Bond? Well, Bond producer Barbara Broccoli talking about the possibility during a podcast appearance, calling Elba a magnificent actor and saying he is a, quote, part of the conversation. This, of course, after Daniel Craig gave his final performance as 007 in last year's No Time to Die.
I think he'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are voting for that.
Excellent, yeah. That role. Okay, we'll see what happens.
Well, we start this half hour with the demands for justice for a woman found dead under mysterious circumstances. Lauren Smith Fields was found unresponsive in her apartment after meeting a man on a popular dating app, and her family claims police handling the case should be doing more. ABC's Zachary Keesh has the story.
This morning, the family of Lauren Smith Fields is looking for answers.
I just could not believe that my baby sister was gone. Somebody who I love, somebody who I protected, somebody who I've been around my whole entire life. Like, I literally held her when she was born.
According to the Bridgeport, Connecticut police report, on December 12th, authorities found a young adult black female lying on her back that did not appear to be breathing. A man who says he met Lauren on a dating app called the police. That man, who we are not identifying, says he had only known her for 3 days and visited her apartment for the first time the night before, when he claims she got sick. The morning of December 12th, that man noticed Smithfield's nose was bleeding and she was not breathing. That's when he called 911. The family says the man is the last known person to see Lauren alive. Police say he's not a suspect or a person of interest, and that they do not suspect foul play.
We want all the people of Bridgeport to be treated fairly and equally under the law. That didn't happen here, and everyone listening to the story needs to know that Lauren Smith Fields wasn't given the treatment that she should have been given.
Now, Smithfield's family have taken the initial steps to sue the city of Bridgeport and the police department. They allege that the Bridgeport Police Department failed to implement the proper crime scene investigation team to collect physical evidence, and that the city has failed to intervene. Today, on what would have been Lauren's 24th birthday, the family has planned a march and a celebration of life.
We're going to march. We're going to chant her name. We're going to wish her happy birthday. We're going to let balloons go.
They also have a powerful message that they want to share with the world.
Because we don't want this. It's not just about Lauren. It's about every girl that could potentially go through something like this. We don't ever want this to happen to anybody. I don't want nobody to feel this pain.
The family says that they believe that race has played a role in the investigation, but the police department says the investigation is ongoing and that they're awaiting a cause of death and toxicology report. Janae?
All right, Zachary, we'll continue to follow that one. Awful story.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
Welcome back to GMA and singing superstar Adele reaching out to surprise fans on FaceTime and tearfully apologizing once again for canceling her Las Vegas shows at the 11th hour. ABC's Zareen Shah has the interviews you'll only see here on GMA. Zareen, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Whit. Many fans were initially livid when the show was postponed, one saying that she spent thousands of dollars getting to Vegas and that Adele's team should have known that this was going to happen because Omicron has been around for weeks. But fans are going a little more easy on her, you could say, after she gave them a very big surprise.
Oh my gosh, hi.
This morning, pop superstar Adele surprising fans, greeting them on FaceTime.
I'm really sorry, I'm not there.
After postponing her Vegas residency,
Adele actually reached out to my twin sister on Twitter and direct messaged her to go to Caesar's Palace at 6 p.m.
That gift for fans she reached out to for a surprise call.
The shows will be rescheduled and we're allowed to ASAP. Like I said, you get first honors whether you refund your tickets or not.
I still can't believe that I was on a FaceTime call with her.
The FaceTime came after Adele announced to her nearly 50 million Instagram followers Thursday, she had to postpone her residency.
We've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID.
Weekends with Adele sold out for 24 performances in mere hours. Many fans heading to Vegas when they found out the show was no longer on.
The flight literally took off and it was like in a span of 15 minutes that we found out within like on our flight that the show is canceled. So I was frustrated.
A moment of devastation for many. One user tweeting, extremely disappointed and flew from another country and spent a lot to see her. Another saying this could have been postponed in early January and saved people time and money. But crisis experts say Adele made the right call.
Anything was better than doing a show she wasn't proud of. And her fans will forgive her.
Where are you guys from?
We're from New York.
Some fans heading to Caesars for sing-alongs, browsing at a pop-up shop when Adele's team pulled fans aside.
I can offer you a warm embrace.
And just to see her reaction when we started singing, that just brought me joy. I'm like, we made Adele smile.
You feel my love.
Okay, so going to an Adele show, that's pretty expensive, but making your idol smile, I mean, possibly priceless. Some fans saying when her show is ready, they will go back in a heartbeat. Whit.
Plus, they got the karaoke sing-along with Adele.
Right.
That's tough.
And all of America at this point.
Absolutely. All right, Zareen, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Coming up here on Good Morning America, upsets overnight for two number one seeds in the NFL playoffs. Oh, yes.
Can you tell me excited?
Oh, yes. ESPN's Damian Woody joins us with that and a look ahead at today's game. Still ahead.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Back now on GMA in the divisional round playoff games this weekend, deciding who will make it to the final four. Lots of drama overnight. That's got a very excited anchor over here. And ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody joined us this morning. Damian, good morning to you. Thanks for being here. Two dramatic finishes last night. What surprised you most?
I would probably have to say the Cincinnati Bengals. You're talking about a young team led by their second-year quarterback in Joe Burrow. This is a franchise that hadn't been to this point in the season since 1988.
And for them to go on the road to Nashville against the Tennessee Titans and to pull up that upset, that is a huge, huge win for that franchise.
Yeah, it was Joe Burrow last weekend who you said he may be young, but he ready. He certainly
That's
was.
Right.
And Tom Brady's former teammate now, Rob Ninkovich, said he thinks that Brady could retire this year if his season ends today. What do you think about that?
Well, listen, Tom Brady is 44 years old, but this is a guy that's, you can make the case he's had an MVP type of season. The numbers that he's put up this year has just been amazing. So he's going up against a really good Rams defense, got a lot of guys that can get after the quarterback. So if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are eliminated, me personally, I think Tom should just keep playing until the wheels fall off.
You think so? The wheels fall off or something.
That's right.
I mean, he said 45, so we could see how much longer he lasts. And okay, so today, your take on the Bills-Chiefs game as they're going to be in KC Mo. Can Buffalo beat them?
Absolutely. And for everyone talks about Patrick Mahomes, and rightfully so. But I think the nation's going to get a good glimpse at this other quarterback named Josh Allen. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. He's big. He's athletic. He's got a cannon for arm, and he's a great runner. So, you know, as much as we talk about Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen is right on his level as far as their skill set is concerned.
Like you said, we talk about Patrick Mahomes a lot, but America, you heard it here first from Damian Woody and Josh Allen. Thank you so much, Damian. And stick around. Pop News is next with Will Gans.
So we held a poll on social media, and back by popular demand, Will Gans in for Pop News set this place on fire yesterday. What's going on?
Let's do it again today. I hope you guys enjoyed today's Pop News. In fact, I triple dog dare you, because we are starting with a beloved Christmas classic, finally getting a sequel. Fans of A Christmas Story will be able to catch up with Ralphie Parker 40 years later. Peter Billingsley, the original star of the movie, will reportedly star in A Christmas Story Christmas, which will take place in the 1970s, with Ralphie bringing his family to his childhood home for the holidays. Production set to begin in February. Guys, did you know the original movie was a box office flop?
Wow.
Now, of course, it's a cult classic. Yeah, in 1983, people weren't having it.
I'm so excited about this.
Me too.
Great.
You'll shoot your eye out, though.
Be careful.
Next up, Taylor Swift. We know all too well. I did it again. The superstar can break records, but she's also on a mission to save them. It's been announced that she'll serve as the first ever Record Store Day global ambassador. The singer has a long history of supporting local record stores, even sending shops around the country signed copies of Folklore to help them stay afloat during the pandemic. And to honor the holiday's 15th year celebration, she'll be dropping a special Record Store Day release, no title and no word yet on what exactly this record will be. But we do know it's scheduled for April 23rd.
Was that an audition to sing on her next album?
Really? Yeah, backup singer.
Yeah, you got it.
We also know you're a big Swiftie.
That's right. According to conspiracy theorists on TikTok, and by that I mean me, we're expecting Speak Now, Taylor's version, could be the secret release here. You heard it here first. Yeah. Finally, paging all thrill seekers, a record-breaking roller coaster is set to make its debut. Iron Gwazi at Busch Gardens Tampa Bay will officially open to park visitors on March 11th, but pass members can ride it weeks earlier. It's billed as the steepest coaster in the world, with a 91-degree drop, OMG, reaching a top speed of 76 miles per hour.
Holy cow.
Good news, you guys, I got the four of us tickets.
Yeah. We're taking the show on the road.
That's right, Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay, here we come.
Bring the Dramamine. Hey, Will, great to have you in
this
weekend.
Guys,
we really
thanks.
Appreciate it. And guys, hey, GMA, you can listen to us on a podcast 7 days a week, wherever you get your podcasts, and stay tuned for this week.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.